Today on Real Radio.
God values the moment because of the cross that's ahead. Palm Sunday is a route leading to the cross.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages we're presenting in commemoration of Passion Week. We're hearing some fascinating messianic prophecies as well as historical facts. Now, some of these prophecies have been fulfilled, others have yet to be fulfilled regarding the Messiah or the Christ of Israel. And we're talking about what many refer to as history's pivot point. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a message simply called the cross.
Listen, everybody's in. Have you noticed? Everybody wants to talk about Jesus this time of the year as long as they spin it their way. That includes Bill O'Reilly. The no-spin zone master? Well, he spun a good one regarding killing Jesus. Listen, I don't know if you have the book or not, but Bill O'Reilly says that Jesus was so benevolent and so kind that in all of his actions, he wound up upsetting the Roman Empire and he got himself killed. Oh, golly, I didn't know that. The reason why you don't know that is because that's not what happened. Jesus didn't get himself killed. Jesus said, I lay my life down and I pick it up when I want to. Jesus said, regarding the cross, it's for this reason I came into the world. Jesus has been telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows what's up. So no matter who tells you what on what channel, listen, just don't watch it, first of all. You know what? The hour you'd spend getting polluted by a false message, why don't you read your Bible instead? Think about it. Okay? Yeah, I'll do that. You should read your Bible. Okay? Because we're not responsible for the counseling that has to take place to decontaminate your mind after you watch some of these shows. No. Jesus is coming. It's all prearranged by none other than God himself. Did you know that? The crucifixion of Jesus was prearranged by God himself. The Bible says in the book of Acts that by God's predetermined counsel and his foreknowledge, the Son of God was crucified. It's all planned. His arrival was majestic. Matthew 21, verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came from Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, watch this, everybody. Get your highlighter out. Oh, if you're a non-believer in the house, stay tuned. Any skeptic? Are you an atheist? Listen, the only way you can be an atheist after this message today is if you want to avoid the evidence. If you want to ignore the truth, then go ahead and be an atheist. Because by the time we come to the end of this message, you're going to see the science of the Bible. Irrefutable. I love saying this. It creates such a controversy. Irrefutable, undeniable fact that God exists and Jesus is the Lord. Undeniable. I'll prove it. And it begins with this. Jesus says to them, quote, look, go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, watch this, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament here. Watch what Matthew verse 4 says. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, right in your margins. That's the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. What did he say? He said this, verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey with the colt, well, that means they found it, laid their clothes on them, well, that's odd, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Well, that's even odder. And others cut down branches from the trees, plural. We know from the book of Isaiah it had to be palm trees and it's like a willow type of eucalyptus. Also, trees, plural, but we call it Palm Sunday, and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes, a great host of people, who went before and those who followed, that is Jesus, cried out. And this is what they said. Number two controversy. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Notice, L-O-R-D. That's Yah. That's the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna means save us or save now. Verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? I mean, they knew who he was, but they're saying, the verbiage would mean this. What's going on? We recognize the verses being shouted. We recognize the event. We've read about it all our lives. We're Jews. What in the world is going on? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. In one grand sweeping moment, church, two Bible prophecies were being fulfilled at least side by side simultaneously. Number one, mark it down in your margins of your notes or your passage today. Psalm 118. Now look, you have to pray for me right now. I'm losing control of myself. I got to tell you why. Because you know what? I make fun of atheists all the time because I love them. I really do. I'm not kidding. Because I want to provoke them to think. And for us who are Christians now, it's like settle in, hang on to the truth, because it's a wild ride. And the number one thing, watch this. Psalm 118, mark it down, verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm reading 1,000 years before Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day. Save now. That's Hosanna, verse 25. I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray and send now prosperity. Verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yah. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Verse 27. God is the Lord and he has given us light. Amen. Listen, this is so amazing. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to listen. This is what happened. Well, how do you know? Because eyewitness accounts record it, not only biblically, but remember who's watching this unfold. The disciples, yeah, they're biased. They already believe in Jesus. Okay, we'll give you that. What about the nation of Israel, who did not yet quite believe in Jesus, one way or the other? Okay, whatever. Could have been some hallucinogenic type thing they're smoking on that morning. That's kind of a stretch, but we'll give you that. You know what? The Pharisees that hated Jesus record this. And the fun thing is, the Roman Empire recorded this moment, who could care less, frankly. I want you to think about that if you're a skeptic today. You just need to deal with that. But it gets worse for you. Zechariah 9:9, written some 700 years before Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day in history. Zechariah 9:9 prophesied, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout! O daughter of Jerusalem, why? Behold, open your eyes. Look, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Listen, how would CNN cover this moment 2,000 years ago? Can you imagine the spin they would be putting on it? What about Fox? What about Al Jazeera? What about BBC? Can you imagine them trying to report? What's going on? What's going on? Some people would say, I don't have a clue. Some people would say, don't ask me, I'm Roman. Some people would say, you know what? I'm a Jew, but I've read about this stuff in my Bible. In fact, they could have said, you know, a few weeks ago, the rabbi was teaching on this very thing. What a strange coincidence, isn't it? How would they spin it? How would they conclude? What would they conclude? So listen, if you're Jewish this morning, listen very carefully. And if you're not a Jew this morning, listen very carefully. I submit this argument in the court of your opinion. Number one, Jesus says, go get a donkey. You'll find it tied up. And oh, by the way, this code word. If the guy says, what are you doing with my donkey? It's my donkey. The code word is, the master has need of it. Okay, you can have the donkey. The eyewitness account, you guys, Matthew tells us. He records it. He's there. He says, this was that which was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah. Oh, yeah, and that was prophesied by King David in the 118th Psalm. The Messianic Psalm, In Zechariah 9, all about the Messiah. Watch this, everybody. This gets really sassy. I love this. You've got two prophecies that Jesus says is real. So you got to deal with it. Number two, watch. The whole surrounding is documented. So, Jesus being a Jew uses the scriptures to justify the moment, to qualify the moment. Are you with me? Okay, the next thing I want you to think about is the Jews who were there were Jews. And they knew the scriptures too. And they went and got palm branches. Hey, listen, if we're having a courtroom hearing right now, if this is the case, I submit to you, the Jews, they are Jews. They know their scriptures. They saw what was going on. They ran and got palm branches and took their tunics, their overcoats, and put it on the path. That's quite a bit of evidence, ladies and gentlemen, submitted by eyewitnesses, recorded, listen, recorded by none other than who? Who's the author of the Bible? The Holy Spirit writes the Bible. The Holy Spirit is saying, this is the fulfillment. Are you with me? The second, or the third thing is this, is the fact that the Pharisees were Jews. They're having a freak out moment. When you read the passages of this visitation of Jesus, technically, if you're into what's called eschatology, prophetic study of the word, this is technically Jesus' first coming. I thought that was Bethlehem. It's not Bethlehem. Well, how about this? When he raised the dead, it's not raising the dead. Technically, according to Hebrew eschatology, the first coming of Jesus Christ is Palm Sunday, presented as king. The Pharisees, they never denied what was going on. Isn't that interesting? They tried to cover up the scriptures, and they tried to get Jesus to control his disciples on this day. They tell him, we'll read it in a moment, Jesus, tell your disciples to disband, be quiet, just zip it. Do you remember what Jesus told them? It's an amazing moment, because all this noise is going on. It's almost like you pause the tape, you know, the show. And Jesus leans over and says, hey guys, listen, if I told them to shut up, the rocks would start crying out. Press play. Think of it. So everybody involved, they're actually honoring the scriptures of old. They're not denying the events taking place, even those who hate Jesus. If you're a skeptic and an atheist in the house, I want you to think about the science of this. This is irrefutable, undeniable fact and truth, and we'll get closer and more into it. I love this. This is the reaction of the Pharisees. You got to love those guys, because it's kind of like our politicians today. Not all of them. We have some great ones that are here right now at service. Ones that have served this nation with distinction. You know who I'm talking about. But in current politics today, whatever they're for, trust me, you're for the opposite thing. Right? Did you get that? Listen to this. In John 12:19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Don't you love that? They get together. They have their huddle from hell. What are we doing? And they start, and the word implies blaming. They look at each other, talking to each other. Look what you're doing. No, look what you're doing. What is it that we're doing? We're messing it up. The whole world's following him. Isn't that great news? God values the moment because of the cross that's ahead. Palm Sunday is a route leading to the cross. And God's deliberate about it. He doesn't hold it as a secret. And that's a powerful thing to remember. Secondly, his purpose is majestic. The majesty of the cross is also this, that his purpose, God's purpose, was majestic. How so? Well, the Old Testament teaches from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament books, that the Messiah, listen, the Messiah of Israel, if you're Jewish today, listen carefully. Your Old Testament scriptures say that the Messiah of Israel is both, listen, the anointed one, which is religious language. You can't get away from it. The anointed one is a reference to the atoning work of the Messiah, but the Hebrew, the biblical Messiah is also a political deliverer. Today, the Jews want a political deliverer. They've always wanted a political deliverer. When Jesus came this week in history, they'll turn their back on him because they wanted a political deliverer. But listen, the Messiah is both. But God, in his priority, deals with first things first. And what's the first thing first? Your political deliverance or your sins being removed from you? So God comes. Listen, the Messiah of Israel, according to the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, must be the sacrifice and at the same time the sovereign. Did you hear that? This is unlike any other message that you could preach in the world. Whoever the leader is the one who lays down his life. You know any kings like that? No, just one. The Savior is the sufferer, according to the Bible. Every Jew knows this. If you read Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament. Why? How is that? Because his purpose is majestic. How so? John Wolford writes in his commentary on this moment of Jesus' life, he says that some 300 specific prophecies detail the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah of Israel, number one. I'm not going to do all 300. I'll just give you a couple. Whoever he is from the Old Testament has to be virgin-born. That kind of narrows the... Number two, he has to be born in Bethlehem. Were you born in Bethlehem? And you say, yes, sir, I was. Were you virgin-born? Three, he had to be from the tribe of Judah, according to the Old Testament. According to the Old Testament, he had to be of the genealogical or hematological line of David. He had to have David's blood. He had to be sinless. Okay, you're out. He would be one that would have to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel, says the Bible. Listen, he would... 1,000 years before it happened, whoever he is, Psalm 22 says he has to be pierced through his hands and his feet. You guys, I'm going to give you 10 prophecies. There's 300. He would have to die. He would have to be resurrected from the dead. And he would have to be Jewish to reveal himself to the Jewish nation, says the Bible. Did you know that? He was, what did Pilate say over the top of his head? Jesus Christ, King of who, what? Jews. King of the Jews. King of the Jews. The Bible says from, for example, Isaiah 44, Isaiah 48. Did you know that God is the God of Israel, it says. Did you know that? Jeremiah 31, 32, 33. God says, I'm the God of Israel. Did you know that, everybody? Are you sitting down? I'm feeling ornery today. But I say this to get you all shook up so you go find out and see if it's true. Are you ready? You want to know how we swallow lies in our culture? Sometimes we swallow them. We never think twice about it. Nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Malachi, from Malachi to the book of Revelation, do you ever find the word Palestine in your Bible? I don't care how far back you go. Just go way back. Go to the Geneva Bible in English. You can go to the Septuagint in the Greek. You can go back to the Hebrew Scriptures. You can go get in an airplane, fly to Jerusalem, go to the Museum of the Book. Go there, read it. Manuscript, ancient, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. Go ahead. You want to know why? There is no such place until 135 A.D., That's why the Bible says that God is the God of Israel. This is vitally important for last day's events. You know the big debate that's going on right now about Israel and Palestine? You guys, every time you hear that, you should get excited. Because it's all part, according to the Bible, of the end time scheme. Jesus, the Bible says, is the one who will return in the prophets, it says, to Israel. You think about that for a moment. Go tell that to your college professor and let him have a heart attack in the corner. It was invented by Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD in Rome. A lot of people don't realize that. Third and finally, we're almost done. In your dreams. This is my last point, but it's a long one. His demand is majestic. His demand. See, what do you mean, his demand? What do you mean? He demands of us. Oh, yeah, he demands of us, all right. Why? It shouldn't surprise you. Jesus is to whom much is given, much is required. How much do you know? I know enough. It's not how much you know. This is scary. Are you with me? Listen, it's not how much you know. Of course you know the answer. The ultimate answer is it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's true about everything. But listen. It's do you know what's available that's important to know? Oh my goodness, are we living in a dangerous age? Listen to what I'm saying. What you know, do you know it? And was or is it important? This is a dangerous age because we have the ability to click, 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 and you can learn all about the Peruvian warthog's mating habits, but it ain't gonna do you much when you're choking to death on your lunch. Oh my gosh, I'm having a heart attack. What was the thing about the Peruvian warthog? It's not gonna do any good. We live in an age where you click and we know so, honestly, let's be honest, we know so little about a lot of stuff. And God is going to say to you and I someday, did you click on what I did for you on Palm Sunday? Did you study it until you were dog tired? Did you learn all about it that I wanted you to learn? Listen, not only did I put it in the best-selling book in the universe of all time, but I even made it available online. Did you find out? This is dead serious. This is a demand. He's going to ask you, hey, did you know this? It was available. Number one, his demand's majestic because of this. Matthew 23. By the way, if you're taking notes, mark this down. It's very, very amazing. In Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37, Jesus, in fact, in my Bible, I have F1. I have F1 right there. Like Formula One, F1. Why? That stands for me, first coming. For me, first coming. Why? Watch this. Jesus says, on the descent, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, which is a bizarro statement. If you don't know who Jesus is, he's announcing, I'm the one who sent Israel since its beginnings, the prophets.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation simply called The Cross. It's part of Pastor Jack's series we're presenting in commemoration of Passion Week, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series of messages is available for you on a set of DVDs. It goes by the name The Cross. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, The Cross. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us and ask for the DVD set by name, The Cross. Simply send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.